Good morning. Good morning. I'm Mike Elting. When I was first approached by Clark Gore and John Decker about speaking this morning, I wasn't sure I was the most appropriate person to be addressing this group. Although I do have a long and involved history with this breakfast, which Clark, John, Sidra Vaden, Bob Voiles, and so many others have so lovingly nurtured, I've got to say that being the community speaker is an awesome and intimidating responsibility. My experience with the Real Estate Prayer Breakfast begins with my good friend Mark Christopher. He was the founding spirit of this breakfast, and as Lee said earlier, was to be our first speaker. Mark and I worked together his entire real estate career. We attended church together, and we even taught a children's Sunday school class with our wives. Mark's death from lung cancer was 10 years ago. He was just 41 years old. Mark was like so many of us in this room, hardworking, really into his family. He had strong outside interests like golf, hunting, and fishing. He was a regular, good guy. What made Mark exceptional to me was how he dealt with the last 15 months of his life. He was determined to help us all find the unique peace that he had found, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that can only be found through Jesus Christ. I remember that Mark's voice messages at the office became famous. We called them his sermonettes. He quoted his favorite scriptures and gave us daily lessons about prayer, reading God's word, and loving one another. Mark modeled a surrendered man of faith to countless people, some who knew him and many who did not. He trusted in a God he knew well, and his peace was quite evident. Mark's life and how he handled his illness and his impending death had a profound impact on me. Yet it took some time and challenges of my own life to help me reach a fuller understanding of God's grace. For some reason, I wasn't ready to accept some of the truths when Mark taught them. Only now do I understand them fully and accept them completely. Barbara Brown Taylor is a well-known author and preacher. She says, all of us suffer from the human condition. We live with the illusion that we are in control, but in reality, we never have control. Along the way, something happens to us. Andy Stanley, in his series, The Five Basics of Growing Faith, calls them pivotal circumstances. Illness, death, economic hardships. These are the uncontrollable things that will often get our attention. My pivotal circumstance began on Wednesday, January 16th of last year, when I felt a small lump the size of a quail egg on the left side of my neck. A visit that same day to my doctor led to a CT scan the next day, a PET scan the following day, and by Friday evening, we had my diagnosis, stage 3 throat cancer. Throat and neck cancer strikes 42,000 people a year, most of whom are men. 13,000 people a year die from throat and neck cancer. 5% of the cases strike the people who are not tobacco users. I was in this lucky 5%. One of my first blessings was a godly and caring doctor in Cody McClatchy, who not only walked me through my early stages of diagnosis and treatment protocols, but was also there for me in prayer and wise counsel. I consulted with Cody and other doctors at different hospitals about where and how to treat my cancer. The treatment protocol was daily radiation for about 2 months, along with concurrent chemotherapy. One of the initial experiences of radiation treatments for head and neck cancer is having a full face mask made. You then lie on a metal table, and the technician puts the mask over your face and clamps it to the table in order to keep you perfectly still. This enables radiation beams to hit the exact location of the tumor and the other cancerous areas. I can assure you, this was not fun. In my case, the treatments made me really ill. I was sick all day, every day, for about 4 months. I could not eat or drink, and sleeping was a challenge. I got nourishment from a feeding tube that allowed formula to be sent directly to my stomach. My mouth and throat were no longer usable. I lost 60 pounds during my treatments. I was unable to work, watch TV, read books, or enjoy much of anything. That was the difficult part of my story. But this morning, I'd like to speak to the positive aspects of my life interrupted. My family has never been closer. The presence of Jesus Christ was never more evident. Prayer was everywhere. My family, friends, co-workers, even groups of people who did not know me were constantly in prayer. In any serious illness or hardship, we are given great capacity within our faith to hope for healing. Prayer is all-powerful. It does work. Candidly, you do hear from many people that say they will pray for you, and I think God recognizes that good intent, even if the actual prayers are not whispered. Then there are those who are truly on their knees regularly, lifting you up. I thank many of you in this room today for your prayers for my family and me. They were truly our sustenance for months. My primary caregiver, my wife Pam, finally known as Nurse Ratchet, was unbelievable. She kept me on focus. She gave me my medicines, fed me my tube formula, read scriptures to me. She took me to my treatments. She was there for me at all times. My two beautiful daughters, Lindsay and Pamela, were constantly there to help. We knew the cancer and treatments were beyond our control and beyond our worry as well, and our faith carried us daily. The emails and notes I received, especially the handwritten ones, which were my favorites, were both overwhelming and humbling. I've learned many things from this cancer journey. First, my life is rich in all that matters. Secondly, I am grateful for all my blessings. And thirdly, most importantly, I need and want to grow my walk with the Lord. C.S. Lewis says, "Our greatest need is when we have no need." Too many of us, and I'm a prime example, seem to roll along without the complete recognition or acknowledgement of Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us. Thankfully, we do not have to be perfect to receive this love and acceptance. I stand before you this morning knowing full well that I'm a work in progress. I need to be reminded constantly of my need for more prayer, more quiet time, time to read the Bible, and most importantly, the need to set time aside to be more of a servant to God. I seek mentors in my life to help me grow my faith. This breakfast exists to help you. It helps to help you find your way to Bible studies, prayer partners, mentors, and Christian fellowship. This breakfast has always inspired me. There are so many people in our community, many who are true friends, that model the spiritual disciplines that I find lacking in myself. We must all carve out more time to grow our relationship with Christ. In Matthew 21:19, the scriptures tell us, "If you only appear to have faith without putting it to work in your life, you are like the fig tree that withered and died because it bore no fruit." Genuine faith means bearing fruit for God's kingdom. Our jobs and work present an interesting conundrum. They are our livelihood. It's where we spend the majority of our waking hours. Our jobs provide us with the means to take care of our families and all our varied interests. We must remember that while work is important, it is our livelihood, not our life. Life is built on the relationships we have with our Lord, our families, and our friends. Life is not about accumulating stuff, achievements, or money. The old saying is that life is not a destination, it is a journey. It's a journey that has many twists and turns, and it's a journey we do not control. I'd like to leave you this morning with my favorite Bible verse. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Thank you very much.